The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
My mom was a scientist, so she would take us to the lab with her, like on the weekends and after school, because she had to work long hours. And I just love the idea of exploring the unknown. And then there's other things that we just haven't figured out or discovered yet. To think about so much that's out there that we still have to learn, like, I love that. I love that. And so I'm very excited about the Space Council. We're going to learn so much. As we increasingly, I think, are curious and interested in the potential for the discoveries and the work we can do in space. So that's one of the things I'm most excited about.
45 seconds of fakery there. 45 seconds that you're not going to be able to get back. I do apologize for wasting away those precious seconds. So much, though. So much fakery. I like how she acts as if they're little five-year-olds, and we now know that those are child actors. Forget about the fact that they're teenagers. She speaks to them like they're five-year-olds, as phony as ever. And then paid, I don't know if they're paid, but they had to try out. Those children in this scene had to try out for this little video, put together by the fake Vice President of the United States of America. It's just perfect. It's absolutely perfect. In a world full of phoniness, fakery, disinformation, lies, deception, it is, as I say, just perfect. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We're certainly grateful that you've joined our growing audience. We're thankful for our broadcast partner taking the audio-only version of this show into 11 million homes, CRN Digital Talk Radio, Channel 3 on that platform. Of course, the video version is available exclusively at our very own website, thetrumpet.com. Go to thetrumpet.com/live, and you can get to the live stream page and the page that has all of these podcasts that are posted after the fact so that you can listen on demand. We truly are living in the midst of a pandemic. It's a pandemic of disinformation and lies. That's what we're living through. And of course, it started long ago with this demonic doctrine that truth is somehow relative. I was mentioning to our Principles of Living students this morning just how much of an anchor to our soul the Holy Bible is. The fact that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He says in Malachi 3, I change not. I mean, with God, you know where he stands. And you know it's not going to be ever evolving. There was a segment last night on CNN. Don Lemon, he's a homosexual commentator. So he was ecstatic that now one of the comic books shows Superman to be homosexual or bisexual. This made up a segment on his news show. Where does it end? When does it stop? When do we get to the bottom and it says, all right, that's enough. This immoral slide, it's gone on long enough. We've achieved our objectives. We're right where we need to be. It'll never stop. It's just going to get more and more bizarre and deranged and anti-God and anti-Bible. And that's what your Bible says in 2 Timothy 3. Evil men and seducers wax worse and worse and worse. Yes, indeed, a pandemic of disinformation and lies. They make up the set. They put in the fake VP. They put in fake child actors. Or children that are acting. No sincerity, no truth. Look at the fake set that they constructed across the street from the White House, where the fake president can get his fake jab, and pretend that everybody in the United States is getting the jab. You wonder how many, you know, we keep hearing these figures, these percentages, 66%, 70%, whatever. You wonder if that's even true. You wonder if that many people have even gotten the jab. I mean, can you really believe and trust anything? Except for maybe Joe Biden's popularity polls plummeting. I think that's pretty easy to believe. But here they construct this fake set. Just go back a few years, if you would. And the major media, the propagandists in the media, the apoplectic reaction that they had to a video, I forget what it was about. Donald Trump puts out a video. Evidently, they thought it was in front of a green screen, and they just went ballistic. Oh, but this is fake. This is Donald Trump. It's not really real. We can't stand for this. And yet we put up with this now all the time. Child actors about the Space Council program. You really have to get actors? I mean, speaking of acting, I think the vice president could benefit from some acting classes. Just so that it comes across a little bit more sincere, a little bit more genuine, a little bit less scripted. How about that? Here she is talking to what would appear to be five-year-olds. If you didn't see them, they're grown teenagers. It's absolutely perfect, isn't it? A fake president, a fake administration, an illegitimate administration, and everyone just playing along like he got 81 million votes. Playing along like there was no foul play in Maricopa County or Fulton County or in Pennsylvania or in Wisconsin or in Michigan. People know. They know. That's why they're so hypersensitive. Hillary Clinton, she's back out on the scene now. Oh, yes. Insurrection. A threat to our democracy. Here they've got control of the government, and they're still going on and on about the bad orange man, how that he's destroying democracy. He is so destructive to democracy that when he's cheated out of a second term, and everybody knows it, he still gets up on the day of the transfer of power and leaves the White House. That's right. He's so much of a tyrant. He's so much of an authoritarian. Remember those authoritarian years of Donald Trump? No, we're experiencing those years. It's not even been a year. Right now, mask mandates. You've got an NBA basketball team telling a player, Kyrie Irving, you can't play anymore, you can't practice, never mind what we've written up in the contract. I'm supposing there's no clause in there that says, hey, this contract is voided if you don't get this vaccine that we demand you take. We're now living in the United States of America, an American nation where if you don't get an experimental drug injected into you, you're fired. You can't even finish out your MBA contract. How about that? I have a feeling this is going to be working its way into some federal court systems here pretty quick. But, you know, you never know how those are going to turn out. I guess it just depends on the judge. But it's just a free-for-all. It's just every man doing what seems right in his own eyes. Sam sent me this. This is from the BBC. It's about an Iowa man. He seems, from all accounts, he seems like a pretty disgusting human being. But his crimes, he was causing some disturbances, and then he was thrown out of a bar, and then he goes down to a church, and he gets one of the rainbow flags representing LBG and all the other letters. And he burns the flag. And this man's sentenced to 15 years in prison. 15 years in prison for burning the rainbow flag? How many U.S. flags were burned last summer? Are those people in jail for 15 years? They probably didn't go to jail for 15 minutes. And then you have the shooter, like I said last week, down in Arlington, Texas. He shoots four people. He's seen partying that night. Gets out on $75,000 bail. That's no problem. Shoot up some people, fine. But hey, John, I think his name's John Gruden. Don't you dare say anything that's insensitive. 15 years ago in an email, you're gone. You're gone in this woke culture. How many people How many people would be fired today based on something they said or emailed 15, 20 years ago? We're not justifying the behavior, not a bit, but the system. Where is their justice? Equal justice for all. It's okay to trash your country. It's okay to burn your country's flag. But don't you dare burn a flag that stands for homosexual rights. This is, the final, as I've said before, the final silly stages of our immoral decline. This path to deviance and perversion of every kind. They went crazy, as I said. If Donald Trump did something that didn't look like it was real, boy, that had to be exposed. Listen to this from the Southwest. I mentioned this yesterday. But here again, everybody and their dog knows that these pilots, they're calling in sick. These flight attendants are calling in sick. They're protesting. We don't want vax mandates. And listen to this CEO of Southwest just pretend like, well, that's not really what's happening. It's happening. And he gets on national TV and says, no, it's not happening. Okay? That's the world we live in. It's his truth. This is his truth. Doesn't have anything to do with vaccine mandates. Forget about that. This is clip 7.
There's absolutely no issue in working with our employees. Talking about the vaccine mandate, oh yeah, I mean, there are some that have very strong views on both sides of that issue. Executive order from President Biden mandates that all federal employees and then all federal contractors, which covers all the major airlines, have to have a mandate in a vaccine in place by December the 8th. So we're working through that. We're urging all of our employees to get vaccinated. Yes, we have some very strong views on that topic, but that's not what was at issue with Southwest over the weekend.
No, we canceled 2,000 flights because of the weather. You know how bad the weather is in Florida. I mean, when it's not sunny and warm for 98% of the year. As far as I know, there's no hurricane rolling through Florida right now. They just get up and they lie. Tucker Carlson had a segment last night where he's just over and again. Here's my source over here. Here's my source over here. Yes. Yes, they're staging a protest in the legal way that they can carry this out. It's a sick out. We don't want the vax mandate. And yet people just get up and they lie. This is the worst form of will worship that you could imagine. It's just every day we're bombarded with it. People don't even think anything of it. Just get up and tell a different narrative. That's all you have to do. Meanwhile, you've got, as we reported last week, tens of thousands of people being laid off. And Joe Biden, for his part, he says, hey, the economy's never been better. And, you know, you're going to see some headlines of mass layoffs. But look, these are people scared of the Delta variant. It doesn't have anything to do with the vaccine. It does have to do with the vaccine. This is from CNBC. A record 4.3 million workers quit their jobs in August, led by food and retail industries. And close behind, the medical industry. You've got these mass layoffs in United, American Airlines. Why? Because they're not following through on the mandate. It's not even a mandate. It's a press release. And so that CEO of Southwest, he's not even telling the truth there. He's saying, I'm not all for mandates. I think you know this about me. But Joe Biden said, so he mandated it. So we're trying to deal with this. We're trying to make sure our pilots and everybody gets the jab. He's putting it off on Biden. Biden has no constitutional authority to even do it. It's no law. There's no law in the books that says thou shalt get the jab. And yet look at how people just go right along with some decree, some authoritarian decree. And then they're here to tell you, Clinton and all the others, that the real problem, the real threat to democracy is some guy that's at his hotel down in Mar-a-Lago, Florida. This is tales from an upside-down world. Donald Trump, Well, the bad orange man, once again. January 6th, the insurrection. One of them said the other day, hey, January 6th, that was sort of like the first attack on the World Trade Centers back in 1993. And then, I mean, that was a trial run. But, I mean, what's coming next? That's 9/11. Yeah, it's always the Trump supporters, the boogeyman that is the Trump movement, which is, as I said yesterday, as popular as it's ever been. 20,000 people turning out for a rally in a relatively small state, Iowa. This is from Revolver. They took an investigation into the FBI. And remember the story a few weeks ago where the FBI said that they basically came out and admitted that it wasn't a coordinated attack, January 6th. Now, Revolver's looked into these Oath Keepers, members of the, they're the ones that supposedly spearheaded the insurrection. It wasn't coordinated. It was more spontaneous. Even the FBI admits this. But nevertheless, 16 Oath Keepers have been arrested. I mean, they were that organization, that's the spark plug that triggered this insurrection, this armed insurrection. You know the one Joe Scarborough says where all the policemen were getting their heads bashed in? That one from January 6th. So 16 Oath Keepers, they've been arrested. Everyone except for the head of the Oath Keepers. His name is Stuart Rhodes. He was there. He was leading the charge. And yet, no charges pressed against him. Well, we already know. I forget the name of the other group. The Three Percenters. The head of that group was found out to be an informant. An FBI plant. The head of the Three Percenters. And so Revolver's here basically saying, I think Stuart Rhodes probably falls into that category as well. If not, why isn't he arrested? When you've got all these other Oath Keepers that have been arrested. You think the major media cares about that? You think Don Lemon cares about that? No, just carry on with the narrative. The threat to democracy, it's just Donald Trump, and proof positive is January 6th. Listen to Hillary Clinton. She's come out of, I guess, political hiding. Now she's back in. Now she says, oh yeah, I'm never going to leave politics. It's amazing. They all come out and they all say the same thing. Yeah, Adam Schiff, same thing. Nancy Pelosi, they're all saying the same thing. Donald Trump, they're worried, you see. They're worried that Donald Trump's going to make a comeback, even if they think it's 2024. And so they're already out 3 years ahead of time, saying things like, he shouldn't even be able to run. He's an insurrectionist. They don't want him to run because they know they would lose if it's a free and fair election, which the last one was not. Listen to Hillary Clinton from yesterday, clip one.
And that gives me absolutely no satisfaction in saying this, because I think we're at a very dangerous, continuing high-level attack on the legitimacy of our government and the election of our president. And obviously, our former president is not only behind it, he incited it, he encouraged it, and he continues to do so. Yeah. And you have leaders of the Republican Party who have willingly gone along as though they're members of a cult, not a political party, but a cult. And their continuing attacks on the election, their refusal to say, you know what, we've counted these votes, it's over, we're going to move on, has sown so much doubt. And then you combine it with the disinformation network known as Facebook, and you've got a volatile mix. So, yeah, we are still in the midst of a concerted, well-funded effort to undermine American democracy.
And, of course, the truth is exactly the opposite. The cult, that would be the Marxist radicals who control the White House at the moment and the Capitol and a lot of federal judges, a lot of federal courts, law enforcement on the national scale anyway, DOJ, FBI, NSA, CIA, IRS, on and on it goes. They've got control of all the alphabet agencies, all of them. The university, popular culture, entertainment, education, for sure, education. And there she is going on about the Trump cult, her political opponents. She wouldn't even accept the results of 2016. Who is she to talk about the results of 2020 and whether or not Trump's people accept them? But there they are coming out with the same talking points. And all of a sudden, Facebook has fallen out of favor from the radical left because, well, they don't censor. They don't blot out enough conservatives. It's got to be across the board. Listen, if you even think that there was foul play in 2020, you got to be deleted, Facebook. Come on, Facebook. Catch up with Twitter. Catch up with some of these other social programs or social media giants. Listen to Adam Schiff. He, for his part, he's now making an appearance as well. He's written a book. He's so concerned about democracy that he wrote a book about it. So it's got to be significant. It's got to be important. Here's clip two.
Well, look, we have a Republican Party that is now an autocratic cult around Donald Trump. It is not interested in governing. It's not interested in even maintaining the solvency and the creditworthiness of the country. And we have to recognize that they're not interested in governing. And so we're going to govern. We're going to have to do it.
We're going to have to do it alone. In other words, no bipartisanship, nothing like that. They're a cult. So we've got to impose our will upon them and the rest of America and do everything possible to prevent Donald Trump from ever having the chance to run again for president. One more from Adam Schiff, clip three.
And this is really why I wrote the book, because I wanted to sound the alarm that our democracy is hanging by a thread right now.
Says the one who had the impeachment going before Donald Trump even was inaugurated. Yes, that's the plan. And the tweets from all those deep staters in early 2017, they couldn't help themselves. He's going down. He's going to be impeached. And then they find some phone call or some fake insurrection. And they just carry out what they said they were going to do from the beginning. America's under attack. And like I said yesterday, these Marxist radicals, they're not hiding out in the closet somewhere. They're right out into the open. And what's it leading toward? This is from an author named Mark Tapson. The Road to Civilizational Collapse. The Road. See, in his introduction here, he refers to Barack Obama's 2008 vow to fundamentally transform the United States of America. We draw a lot of attention to that in our booklet as well, America Under Attack. It's not like he tried to conceal what his intent was, what his aim was, to fundamentally transform the United States. That was the goal, and they're carrying it out. This man in his article, well, let me just read the beginning. It says, indeed, fundamental transformation no longer sufficiently describes the accelerating chaos in our country. Economic killing, pandemic lockdowns, the collapse of law and order, unprecedented racial tensions, big tech control of the flow of information, spiking inflation, and the threat of food shortages, a tsunami of illegal border crossings, a media-driven COVID panic dividing the country, the new racism of critical race theory, rising anti-Semitism, cancel culture, assaults on freedom and speech, and more. Obama's promise of fundamental transformation could more rightly be considered civilizational collapse. We're seeing it. We're viewing it. It's right in front of our eyes. And yet these people have the audacity to come out in front of the cameras and say, hey, they know what Biden's doing. They know Americans are furious at what's happening at the border or with the vaccine mandates or whatever else it is. I mean, the country's just falling apart. And so they come out and they try to distract everyone away from what's actually happening on the ground by saying, hey, it's Donald Trump. He's the threat to democracy. And it's such a grave threat. I wrote a book about it. The war, he gets into three battle fronts in this war. It says here, but what underlies those crises is the culmination of a concerted war of attrition on the three basic pillars that keep a society grounded and stable: love of God, love of country, and love of family. He says, in other words, faith, nation, and family. All three of them, they're coming under attack. A fierce attack, a vicious attack from all these communist thugs. Regarding the war on faith, he mentions the White House prayer breakfast. I forget when that was. It was several weeks back. And he said you had a prayer breakfast headed up by the fake president, a prayer breakfast in the White House where God wasn't even mentioned. It's the first time that's ever happened. I think we've had prayer breakfast for 70, 80 years in the White House now. And God, imagine it, a prayer breakfast with no mention of God. He refers to the Harvard example from back in August, I think it was. I mentioned that on this program. But their chief chaplain, the newest chief chaplain at Harvard, is an atheist. And people are, I guess people just read that and say, oh, that's great. Good for the atheist movement. But to head up the priests at Harvard? I mean, this is the chief chaplain? That people hardly bat an eye. I guess this is just normal. We get an atheist to head up the religious movement. How about that? Says Harvard, the school that started as a seminary back in the 1600s. Generation Z, those would be people born after 1996. Among that group, 44% identify as atheists. Almost half of our young people identify as atheists. You know, Mr. Armstrong used to talk about how that back in the early part of the 20th century, the early 1900s, you know, most people would go off to college with the firm belief in the great creator God, at least that he made everything, that he brought everything into existence. But then they go through college 4 years later and they come out and they're farther from God. Some of them don't even believe in God. Now, you don't even need to go off to college to be brainwashed. You get it early enough. You get it in fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth grade. Half of Generation Z, nearly half, that say, you know what? I don't even believe in God. Wow. Now, it doesn't mean that religion in the United States is true religion or true Christianity. There's a lot of fakery in that movement as well, as we've often noted on this program. But at least you go back to the founders, and at least there's a basic respect for the law of God, the Word of God. You had the founders saying, you know, if it's going to succeed, this experiment with a republic such as this, religion, faith, religion, morality, that's got to underpin it all, or else everything crumbles. What are we seeing? We're seeing it all crumble. So you see columns like this now from this fella, Mark Tapson, The Road to Civilizational Collapse. But then you go back to our body of literature and you see that Herbert Armstrong, the Worldwide Church of God, and today, of course, this church, the Philadelphia Church of God, you see where we stood alone in prophesying what was coming. There was a booklet put out by the Worldwide Church in 1971 called The Modern Romans. The Modern Romans! That book's from 1971. It says, to speculate for one brief moment that glorious Rome would collapse was unthinkable. What Roman Jeremiah could have prophesied that the ravages of wars, taxation, mounting crime, race riots, moral decay, subversion from within, political assassinations, and public apathy would one day bring Rome to utter collapse and ruin? I mean, who could have predicted this in ancient Rome? It's too big, too powerful. It's an empire, after all. It says, and to millions of American and British people today, the thought that America and Britain could suffer a similar fate, though with more modern consequences, seems equally ludicrous. Well, look, it's already happened in Britain. The British Empire, that doesn't exist anymore. It's just a little island. Little Englanders, that's what they are. And they've come to despise the British Empire. There's no pride in their power or even in their former power and greatness. Well, that's something that's got to be ridiculed and mocked, attacked. Statues, they've got to be pulled down. Tear down that history. We're ashamed. We're ashamed of our history. We're ashamed of our nation, so much so that we'll burn our flags. But we're certainly not going to burn the flag representing an activist movement. That's a hate crime. That'll send you to the slammer for 15 years. It says, but Rome did fall. The voices of the ancient Roman scoffers are still as the rubble of ancient Rome, unable to stem a tidal wave of violence, wild spending, wars, degenerating morals, and unbelievable public willingness to accept the decadent society of their day. They were led to the final fate they all denied was possible. Millions of ancient Romans lived to see the impossible happen. They all thought their demise, they all thought their destruction was impossible. Just can't happen. We're Rome. There's a lot of people that thought that way about the United States. Right up until just really a few months ago, a couple years ago, when more of them, the commentators I mean, started to say, wait a second, can these differences between both sides actually be reconciled? Can we ever come? You heard Adam Schiff. They're a cult. Are they looking to bring the nation together? Keep in mind, Joe Biden, that's what he said he was going to do. They cannot govern, said Schiff. They're a cult. And so we've got to do it alone and try to blot them out. And we're mad at Facebook, by the way, because Facebook won't blot them out fast enough. Is this going to be fixed? Or are we going the way of Rome? Listen to Herbert Armstrong from one of his old World Tomorrow broadcasts back in the 1960s, clip 5.
And we're going the way of ancient Rome. And they wanted to rely on the government to support them, so of course taxes went way up, just like they are here in the United States. And the main thing was they didn't want to work. Well, you know, up north there were the barbarians. They were ignorant. They didn't know as much as the Romans. They weren't as educated. They weren't the nice, dandy gentlemen that the gentlemen down at Rome were. But they were tough. And they were strong. And they had good health. Even if their minds weren't as daintily educated. And so finally the barbarians came down and overran them and conquered them. And what happened to Rome? Well, it fell good and hard. My friends, we're riding to a great fall right here in the United States right now, and we don't realize it.
50-some years ago, riding to a great fall, and we don't realize it. I would submit to you, I mean, you said that 50-some years ago, but I would submit to you that more and more people are waking to the fact that we're headed for a great fall. I played a clip from, or a couple of them, from Donald Trump's rally the other day, and that was Saturday night in Iowa. Listen to this lady who attended the rally. I mean, she comes off as a lot more sincere than Kamala Harris, but listen to what she's concerned about for America's future. This is clip 6.
I think the Republicans are about as weak as they possibly could be in Congress. You have maybe 6 that are worth their salt. The rest of them are just the same as the Democrats. They've been there too long. They're establishment. They don't care about the American people because they're in their elite little tower. And so we're just sick of it, you know, and we're not going to take it anymore. I see a civil war coming. I do. I see civil war coming.
pretty sobering to think about what some now see as inevitable. Look, it happened before in the 1860s. And more people are saying the divide between the two sides is just as, the chasm is just as wide as it was back then. How does this end? Well, it's time for us to start thinking more about the modern Romans, as that booklet was titled, to think about those prophecies of Herbert Armstrong, to think about our booklet. He was right. Herbert Armstrong, that is. He was right. The communist infiltration. He was right about that. We're living through it. Well, for more on the subject of Bible prophecy and where this is headed, call our operators today, 1-866-930-3024, and request the United States and Britain in prophecy. Where do we fit in Bible prophecy? Are we even mentioned in Bible prophecy? Well, this is the textbook that you need, and you can read it and study it right along with your Bible and know where we are in Bible prophecy. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. If you'd like to email the show, you can submit some feedback. Email us, td@thetrumpet.com. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily. A child is a miraculous blessing from God, an opportunity to build his family. In his word, God says to train them up in the way that they should go, so that when they are old, they will not depart from it. But how should you train up your child? Most parents do not know. Most parenting books offer only limited help because their authors do not understand the purpose and potential of your child's mind. As a result, millions of children grow up to be hopeless without any direction in life. Many come from broken homes. Many do not have a home. This is why so many young people become delinquent, rebellious, and unsuccessful as teenagers and adults. But you can rear successful, jubilant children and avoid the heartache of an unhappy and miserable home. God has outlined how to rear obedient children in His Word. Our free book, Child Rearing with Vision, will show you how to raise children that follow after God's abundant way of life. It will help you build a strong, united family. It will help you bring God's love into your child rearing. And it will guide you through the momentous journey of preparing your child to serve God the Father forever. Request your free copy of Child Rearing with Vision at our website, thetrumpet.com.
The Trumpet Daily.
Yesterday, we worked our way through the end of 2 Peter 3, that passage that talks about God's purpose and plan. It really does stretch our minds. It enhances and deepens our vision. It lengthens our vision as we think about life beyond this 6,000 years of human civilization under the rule of the God of this world, Satan the devil. He's deceived the whole world, it says in Revelation 12. But what about after his reign comes to an end? After he's put away, after he's locked away in chains, Revelation 20, then comes the 1,000-year millennium. You know, churches in the world, they used to have some of this knowledge, but you don't hear any of it now. It's just all gone. It's been buried. It's been blotted out. The censors, the spiritual censors, they've gotten in there and they've erased this. Even though it's right out of your Bible, 2 Peter 3, Revelation 20, Ezekiel 37. Satan wants to blot out the truth. Knowing what's coming, as Peter said, knowing the surface of the earth is going to be purged in a fiery lake, what manner of Christian ought we to be? How ought we to behave? How should we live insofar as our conduct is concerned? Well, as Peter wrote, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's 2 Peter 3 and verse 18. We need to be growing and learning. or else we'll fall away from our own steadfastness, as the previous verse brings out. We've got to be growing. We've got to be improving. We've got to be making progress, or else we're dying. And if we're not growing, we're dying. Notice Romans chapter 8. Again, we'll consider this mind-expanding vision, this eternity-oriented vision. Even looking off of this particular planet, on into the heavens. David gazed into the heavens. Psalm 8 brings this out, and he said, "What is man? I stare up into the heavens of the universe, and I think, why should God be so concerned about man?" Jesus said, "Lift up your eyes and look into the heavens." Romans 8:17, it says, "And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together." What does it mean for Paul to say to be joint heirs with Christ? What do we know about Christ today in the churches of this world? It's not very much. They carry on through the ministry of Christ. Of course, they get the appearance of Jesus Christ completely wrong. He wasn't an effeminate, long-haired, hippie-looking guy. Not at all. And then they don't get anything as far as his gospel, his message, the message he preached. So again, Satan effectively just blotted it out. The truth, right from the very beginning. But if you know about the ministry of Christ, if you know that he preached the gospel of the soon coming kingdom of God, if you know that he was a strong, robust, powerfully built, persuasive young man, that people just loved to be around. Supposing you know that, and you know about what led up to his beating and crucifixion, and then, of course, the resurrection. But what about after the resurrection? Why stop right there? Why stop with a portrait that's not even accurate in what it's representing of him hanging on a stake or a cross, looking like he got a little bit of a paper cut, and that was about it? You can find that sort of imagery in the Vatican. That's supposed to be a really religious place, right? Well, he was resurrected to life. He sits at the right hand of God. He serves as our advocate and high priest. Hebrews 7 says he lives to make intercession for us. So he's active. He's on the job. He lives. God's bestowed all of this glory upon him, and he's soon to be the king over all the earth. And Paul here says that we're joint heirs with Christ. With Christ. Wow. If we suffer with him, we're going to be glorified together with him. If we come and make sacrifices, if we come into God's church and we're a living sacrifice, Romans 12, 1 and 2, if we forsake the ways of this world, we don't conform to this world or its ways, but we're transformed, as Romans 12 says, to righteousness, to life in Christ. Well, your Bible says that we're to be joint heirs. We're to be inheritors with him. Hebrews 2 brings this out as well. It speaks of Christ as being the pioneer going on out before us. But we're following in his steps. 1 Peter 2:21. Joint heirs with Christ. Verse 18 says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." All that this world has with respect to life after death is some kind of hazy concept of floating around in the clouds. Your Bible speaks of glory. Glory that's to be revealed in us. Joint heirs with Christ, after all. Inheritors. Notice further, verse 19, I'll read these few verses in the Revised Standard Version. It says, for the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. Just let these words sink in. The creation, that would be the universe. All of the stars and suns and planets, dead planets at that. But they're not gonna stay dead for very long. Not for much longer. The creation, the universe, waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. That's you. That's me. Sons of God. Family of God. Joint heirs with Christ. It says, for the creation, that's the suns, planets, stars, moons, as I said, it was subjected to futility, not of its own will, but by the will of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and obtain the glorious liberty of the children of God. What do we have to do with God's creation, with the universe that God made? Well, read through Romans 8. Try to wrap your mind around it if you can. What a glorious calling. Paul says, we know that the whole creation has been groaning and travail together until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, those of us who are spirit-begotten human beings, we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan, it says, inwardly as we wait for the birth as sons. The King James uses the term adoption. I mean, these translators, they couldn't quite wrap their minds around the fact that we're going to be born into the family of God as sons. So they kept trying to use the word adoption. Well, maybe we can kind of understand it a little more deeply if we use that term. No, it's sons. It is what it is. You can understand this on the physical level. A father and a son, you don't have any problem trying to figure out what that is. Why, that's a family. A father, mother, son, children, family. And yet, why are so many people confused about who and what God is and about the purpose for man? Mystery of the Ages, it says, the whole thrust of the passage, speaking of Romans 8, is that when we converted humans are born of God, then having the power and glory of God, we are going to do as God did when the earth had been laid waste and empty. Hebrew tohu and bohu. You can find those words in Genesis 1:2. Christ, who renewed the face of the earth, Psalm 104:30, was renewing what had been destroyed by the rebellion of the sinning angels. Lucifer led that widespread rebellion. All the angels on earth evidently went right along with him. A third of the angels, they went after the way of rebellion and sin. Lucifer's way, Lucifer, who became Satan, his way of lawlessness and vanity, trusting in his own beauty and skill. And those skills became very ugly and destructive once they rebelled against their maker. But here in Romans 8, Paul is saying that it's as if the whole universe is out there like a mother just anxiously awaiting the birth of her children, the start of that family. In Mystery of the Ages, it says, Jesus' gospel was the kingdom of God. What I'm showing you here is that Christ's gospel of the kingdom actually includes all the knowledge here revealed. Even the whole universe is to be ruled by us, who, with God the Father and Jesus Christ, become the kingdom of God. The whole universe? That's a quote from Mystery of the Ages. You got to request it now. You got to request it today. If you don't have it, it's offered without cost or obligation. Why not? Such a wonderful book, a wonderful study. I'm going through it again myself. I can't remember how many times I've gone through it, but it's good to review from time to time. Mr. Armstrong himself said so in 1985. It's not something you want to just read once quickly. You want to go through it. You want to make sure it gets through to you. Then you want to come back to it and study it again and again and again. It says, put together all these scriptures I have used in this chapter. It's chapter 7 of Mystery of the Ages, the mystery of the kingdom of God. Put together all these scriptures, and you begin to grasp the incredible human potential. Our potential is to be born into the God family, receiving total power. We are to be given jurisdiction over the entire universe. What are we going to do then? It says, these scriptures indicate that we shall impart life to billions and billions of dead planets. As life has been imparted to this earth, we shall create as God directs and instructs. Is it important to be eternity-oriented? Is it important for us to set our affections, our desires, on saving the world, saving this world? We're called co-saviors in Obadiah 21. Saving the world and then imparting life, as Mr. Armstrong said there, to billions and billions of dead planets. What an exciting calling. This is far from that hazy, ethereal kind of drifting in the clouds of the sky. This is imparting life to dead planets. This is completing God's creation outside of Earth, beyond Operation Earth. This is extending the God family vision on out into the limitless universe, creating, beautifying, maintaining, administering God's family government. That's something to really set our minds on. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Get your mind off of physical, material, carnal things. Don't be carnally minded. Be spiritually minded. Put your mind on the spiritual. In fact, I'm reading through the end of Romans 8 at the moment. Just look back at the start of this chapter, or earlier on at least, Romans chapter 8, where it talks about the carnal mind. Verse 7, the carnal mind is enmity against God. It's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. But just carry on, it says. Maybe I should back up first. It says, for they, verse 5, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, it says they mind the things of the Spirit. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. To be spiritually minded is life. It's peace. It's joy. It's joyful abundance. Jesus said, I came that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. He wanted us to be happy and prosperous and joyous and filled with peace, even in this temporary physical existence that we have. And then he wants to take that way of life and spread it over the universe. To take it out and to actually impart life to billions and billions of dead planets, just as life has been imparted to this earth. We will create, as Mr. Armstrong said, as God directs and instructs. What a calling, what a vision that God has given to you and to me to be joint heirs with Christ, to set our minds on spiritual things, to set our minds on the things above. Jesus Christ is about to return to this earth. This world is about to explode in violence, destruction, desolation, suffering, carnage. But there is hope beyond the suffering that's just now ahead of us. And that hope is in Christ. That hope is in the true gospel message. That hope is in the return of Christ. It's in the resurrection from the dead. Our resurrection to spirit life. Those of us in the first resurrection, our hope is in God and this universe encompassing vision. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. Send us some feedback. I almost had a little bit of time to get into that today, but we'd like to see your emails, whether we read them on the radio or not. td@thetrumpet.com. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you tomorrow.